Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's been a very heavy Cavs show today, and we've had a lot of fun, but... We saved this one for the right time of the show so we could get the right amount of time to talk about it. And also, we got something we can tie in with Dylan here in a bit. But Kevin Stefanski, you just heard it in Meredith's 2020 there. Kevin Stefanski today was asked about the rep split and whether Shedeur Sanders was getting any reps with the first team.
No. I mean, with a young quarterback, with Dylan starting, you want to make sure he gets a lot of the reps. Different when you have a veteran like Joe, but still getting reps in a bunch of periods.
Now, the reason why I think this is a real conversation for a lot of people is Dylan was getting first-team reps in camp. The only time Shedeur got first-team reps in camp was, I believe, the first preseason game. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get first-team reps ahead of his preseason debut with the Cleveland Browns. So, and then, of course, during the regular season, when Joe was starting, Dylan was still getting, I would say, there were a little bit more first-team reps than you would expect from a backup quarterback. So just to starting here, I guess we'll ask, like, how much does it matter to you when you hear Shedeur isn't getting starter reps yet?
It might surprise you. It doesn't really bother me. Like, even the amount that Dylan was getting was around, like, I don't know, 10% is what people have guesstimated around there. And, like, Shedeur is not going to be made or broke by 10% of reps that he gets in any sort of situation. Like, I mean, does it stink for Shedeur? Maybe a little bit, but I just don't think this is going to impact him in any sort of large way.
I think the only thing I could say is one of the biggest bits of noise around this team that they've created is Dylan's gotten every opportunity since the start of camp. No matter how good or bad he was, Shedeur, at least when we were able to see him, aced every single opportunity he was given until that final preseason game with limited opportunities. I think this is only going to feed the narrative that the Browns are doing as much humanly possible to get, you know, to make Dylan look good. And they're not doing that with what is now their backup quarterback.
Well, I do wonder if this changes at some point, if their feelings change on Dylan Gabriel. Maybe this is one of the things we have to look for to see if the tide is starting to turn. Like, in many ways, I've already suggested, look towards what some of the beat reporters are saying and when they talk about Shedeur. But this could be another area where we look and say, oh, they are getting tired of Dylan, aren't they? Now, all of a sudden, Shedeur is getting 10% of the backup reps. But truthfully, at the end of the day, does not bother me that he's not getting these.
I just think, listen, The question we start with is, obviously, does it matter? And really, it's how much does it matter? I think a lot of this stuff and how they're treating both quarterbacks are really important things to have on the record. For then, like, Dylan's getting all the reps, and then I'm not impressed with what I'm seeing. You know what I mean? Like, that's guy, because I think that would be a fair excuse. If right now Shador was getting even 10% of the first team reps, I would go, oh, it kind of makes sense. You know, Dylan, that the offense is still pared down, that Dylan is still a work in progress. He's a third round pick, he's a rookie, and hey, he's not even getting 100% of the reps in the full first team reps. But you don't have that. You know, like, he's looking meh at best, and he's getting 100% of the reps. And I also, there's one other thing here.
Yeah.
And this is, we probably should feel this way about most teams. The truth is, I don't trust him. Like, the Browns, like every NFL team, are susceptible to biases and internal narratives and groupthink, and they haven't proven to me one way or another that they can handle the development of a quarterback. So when I hear, like, Ashador's not getting any first-team reps, you should naturally be cynical on that, whether it pisses you off or whether it doesn't, simply because the latest quarterback that I have to judge them off their development, as of right now, my biggest gripe with the first three games is I have not seen him get better in three games.
I know, but what this speaks to, and again, it does not bother me in any sort of large way, but what it does speak to is they continue to put all of the eggs in the Dylan Gabriel basket. And they have not been shy about that in any sort of way. And that's, again, that's, it's not surprising to me. No part of this is surprising because, not to go Daryl Ryder on everyone, but it's not surprising because this is how they've treated Dylan the entire time. He's always gotten the favorite child treatment, the golden child treatment, and that's okay. They've decided to do that. But to what you're saying, then you have to be right about this guy. And he's got to be better than what you've seen. And again, like, is it the, do I think Shador, when he wins the job eventually, is going to turn around and be like, oh, thank goodness I had those 10% of reps as the back? No, I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. That's why I'm not losing my mind over it.
I think a little bit over a long time does make a big difference, though. Especially if you're not a first-round quarterback. No, if you're just a rookie.
I mean,
I'd
like to see him have the opportunity to go through some of those reps just from the speed component to it all. I think there's an obvious advantage to that. It's going to be better than him just sitting on the sidelines. But again, this speaks to them putting all their eggs in the Dylan Gabriel basket with the idea that they think it's more valuable for Dylan to get all of them, and they just don't have enough reps to be able to do this all day.
Yeah, but I think the risk-reward, and again, I buy the logic that Kevin Stefanski's using. I think we're just kind of talking around this idea and how they should be preparing both quarterbacks going forward. And again, at the kernel of that is a lack of trust with, and it's not just the Browns. Teams screw this crap up all the time, no matter whether it's a first rounder or a sixth rounder. It's really hard to get right just by nature of you're playing with mercury with a young quarterback anyways. To me, it's risk reward. So this goes back to, I haven't seen Dylan get better in the 3 weeks I've watched him play. I'm sure there are nuanced points that film junkies like Coach Riz can give us, Coach Reisland can give us, that maybe he can rebut. But in terms of his performance, in terms of the eye test, I've not seen him get better. So the reward is, the more reps you give Dylan Gabriel, the better Dylan Gabriel should likely be. The risk is, if Dylan gets banged up in this game and Shador has to go out there, he's still a developmental player that now all of a sudden could have used those reps. And it's not even like, I think you're spot on to say, hey, I'd love to get these reps to for the speed, because ones versus two, there's a different speed there, right?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. It's just familiarity. Part of the hardest thing about so much of football, especially on offense, it's about chemistry. It's about communication. It's about knowing each other in a nonverbal way. One of the reasons why I think the offensive line has been so bad is continuity breeds success on your offensive line, because you learn each other. And communication is incredibly important.
Even just with the receivers. I'm sure you heard Mahomes' comment in the past couple days. It was like, how did you know Rashee Rice was going to be at that spot at that given moment? It's like, you're a magician. He's like, I'm not a magician. I just know Rashee because I've dealt with him enough, and I know where he's going to be because I know how he thinks. There was no magic happened there. I've just thrown enough passes to him. Like, and there is value you and stuff like that. There is. I don't know that he gets that in 10% of plays on a Wednesday. I don't know that happens.
Yeah, I think it does. You get more. Well, I mean, because you have to, it's a library. You build it over time.
Again, they are favoring Dylan Gabriel. So no part of this is going to be any sort of surprise to anybody that's been paying attention to this, because this is what they care about is Dylan's success. They've clearly never cared about Shador's success the same way they've cared about Dylan's success.
So
it's just another example of that.
Yeah, but I think this comes back to the idea of, you can look at that and go, it probably shouldn't be that way. Again, I'm not a Shador mark. I'm not a Dylan mark. I'm a, hey, both of these are what I think to be scratch-off lottery tickets. And now that if Shador was the third string, if Joe Flacco was still the backup, I don't know I'd really feel one bit away about this. But Shador is one snap away from getting out there.
I think I'd feel more enraged if it was Flacco. Because the idea with Dylan is that Dylan needs as many reps as he can get. And he currently is the starter. Joe doesn't need every rep in the world.
No. I mean, if Joe is your backup. Joe is your backup.
I meant, like, as Joe is the starter, then they should have been doing what they did with Dylan the entire
time. But, like, when I look at this from Shador's side of thing, it's like, how to build that library of understanding the players around you on an offense that is already wildly compromised of talent. The reason why it matters is, all right, if you're building, let's say, 10% of snaps every Wednesday or 10% of snaps a week with the ones, and you go 7 weeks, well, that's a butt ton of snaps that now you're going to have to replicate that in game. And it is really hard to build that solely in a game as your first exposure to the ones. Like, there should be no difference to how, I know there are biases in the NFL. I do. But there should be no difference how you treat Dylan Gabriel to Shador Sanders, because they're closer in how they should be linked in terms of where they were drafted than certainly if we were talking about a first pick overall.
This is one of the hard parts of when you have your rookie quarterback and your backup quarterback both be, your first string and your second string both be rookies. Like, this is one of the hard parts about that. And, like, I've asked so many people in the past couple weeks, should this be something that I get enraged about? Should this be something that I really feel deeply about one way or another? And every football person, including Ross, we had Ross down at 220. They just continue to hammer home that if I go down that road, I'm making too big of a deal about basically backup quarterback reps and the 10%. And this is just how the rest of the NFL does it. My argument has always been, well, the NFL gets things wrong all the time. Doesn't mean they're right about it. You can upset the apple cart. But I understand if a coach says, Dylan's not there, we need to get Dylan as many reps as possible because he's the current starter. And for Shador, you're just in a tough spot. It is what it is.
With love and respect to all those analysts, those same analysts, if Shador was not prepared, would then go, why doesn't he look prepared? Yeah?
Well, I mean, that is going to be the response. In turn, that's going to be the response. Now, I don't want to speak for any of these people. I'm not sure. We'd have to ask him ourselves. I think the logical response to that would be something along the lines of, like, well, the 10% isn't, I know you're talking about the library and building the catalog, but they would just argue that the 10% is more valuable to Dylan at this moment in time as your starter than what it would be to Shador, especially since Shador may never even see the field this year.
216-474-0092. Shador Sanders is not getting starter reps. Should he be getting first team reps? Yeah, I think if we were talking about, like, he was taking first team reps away from Cam Ward, maybe I'd feel different. It's a late third rounder and mid fifth round quarterback. If we get into the importance of their talent, importance of them making it for the Browns, I view them in the same light. They're the same damn guy. I think we should be judging that with importance, especially because I just think Shador could use those more, because Dylan's been getting the first team reps since camp. I think that's the other thing. It's like, Shador wasn't getting them then, hadn't gotten them since, which, again, is understandable. Get it? I actually think it would be more valuable to Shador from that standpoint. Dylan's been getting them. This is just familiarity with Dylan, right? With Shador, it's I'm about to go full Aladdin here, a whole new world.
A whole new world.
Yeah.
I watched that movie also 37 times with my daughter now.
Who at the station got a thing for Spencer. Jasmine? Spencer, yeah. Mm. Kyle in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Yes, not like he didn't know the answer.
Should Shador Sanders be getting first team reps?
Yes, I believe so. Just to get him acclimated slightly, and I understand what they're doing with Dylan Gabriel. He is obviously the guy that they wanted more. But I also think that they're protecting Shador. I think that they're not trying to throw him out into the fire. They're trying to build something. And Kevin Stefanski has never really given anybody the chance to build. And I think that they believe in him maybe secretly behind the scenes a little bit more to build.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find something that might actually come to fruition.
So my only problem with that, Kyle, and I don't disagree completely, but
we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
They have not pushed that narrative to anybody behind the scenes. They pushed the exact opposite narrative behind the scenes, and that's the part that makes me so mad about the Shador conversation. Is that they continue to tell anybody that will pay attention that he's not ready and he needs more reps and he needs more this and he needs more that. And so if they're thinking the way that you're suggesting, they had a really funny way of showing it to people.
I think it's really interesting, too, because when we start to have these conversations, I get that the Shador, Dylan conversations, I get these things can be a little tiring to folks. I'll also say, like, we're talking about the current and the future of the Browns quarterback position. It might feel like the stakes are low because it's a third and a fifth round pick, right? When I told Ken to do his job yesterday and then immediately walked it back, my point is...
We don't have the audio clip of that, Mac?
We should argue about Dylan Gabriel and Shador the way we did...
Do your job, Ken!
Tyrod Taylor versus Baker Mayfield. Like, the stakes are still the same here. The stakes are, do we have anybody that can stabilize the quarterback position and maybe even be a bridge starter, even if that's to the first-round pick next year? And I think this does matter a great deal. It might seem immaterial talking about 10% of the snaps. We're talking about the development of two young quarterbacks who, by virtue of your putting, 10 more games in, that does matter. It does matter to the dudes on the field. It does matter to those guys and their chances to succeed.
And it also showcases who they continue to invest in. I mean, that's the part for myself. It showcases what areas of this team and who in particular they continue to invest their time and their resources in. If you have 100% of snaps, right now they're saying, Dylan Gabriel, you're the only one we care about. And it just is what it is.
216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski was honest, which we appreciate, in regards to Shador Sanders not getting first-team reps yet. Should he be getting first-team reps? We got some calls on this, and we wave the magic wand for the Browns and see what happens in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Afternoon Drive. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We got quick hits coming up in about 20 minutes, but Kevin Stefanski has said that Shador right now is not getting any first-team reps, and I do think it's interesting. Again, like, how big of a deal it is? It's a big deal because it's a Browns quarterback, and they're trying to develop two quarterbacks at once. I think it's really easy. I think you're going to hear this a bit. I think people who want to punt on this topic are going to say, this is why you shouldn't have taken two quarterbacks in the first place. Yeah, that doesn't matter. They're in the boat now. Now it's, how do we get the boat to move?
They took two, but this is just, they're only invested in developing the one for right now. That's the read that I have on it.
I don't think
that's
it's
fine.
That they're not invested in Shador. I think it's differing levels of investment. And I think then you go to, should they have differing levels of investments in developing Dylan and Shador? And that's where I'm like, no. It's a late third round pick and it's a fifth round pick. What the hell are we talking about here?
I'm curious to see if this changes at all. Again, everyone I talked to about this made the suggestion that this is very common practice and this situation is different because it's two rookies, but for a rookie quarterback to be starting, you get 100% of the reps, and that's not even negotiable. So like I'm going to go with what they're telling me because I'm not at practices every day.
I just think the weird thing is it's so hard to find. Like if we're talking RG3, he was the number two pick in the 2012 draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Kirk Cousins, who I think was pick 101 or 102. Okay, that one makes sense. There was no chance Kirk Cousins was going to play that year under that system, and RG3 was the guy. This one's different. It's so hard to find like applicable comparisons and analogies for this because rarely do you take a late third and then a mid fifth rounder, and very rarely are both expected to play in one season.
Is that the miss in the conversation? Is that the people that I'm talking with are just looking at it from like, oh, this is what happened with Drake May. This is what happened with Jaden Daniels. This is what happened with Caleb Williams. This is what happens when you take a rookie quarterback. Is that the gap here?
One more time.
Okay, the idea that, so it wasn't that it was Shador and Dylan, that it was two rookie quarterbacks. It's the idea that it's when you have a rookie quarterback, it's basically non-negotiable. They get 100% of the snaps in this type of setting.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
No, you're fine, go ahead.
So, because this goes along with AFR saying, not to pick a fight with the boys, it's fine if you do, buddy. But this is always how quarterback development works. This is not an always situation. Like that to me, like this situation bucks trends because you don't have this situation ever in the NFL. Ever. If you take a third and fifth round quarterback, there's a good veteran in front of them. So if they're getting developmental reps or first team reps, it's maybe it's what Dylan Gabriel got when Joe Flacco was here. So I think that's where, like, I hear that everyone's saying, well, this is how it regularly goes in the mm-hmm. NFL. This is not a regular situation. Like, the Browns can say, we're not prepared to play Shador this year, and they can say that publicly. No one on the planet believes that they don't have it in the back of their mind that at some point that kid's hitting the field.
Yeah, but I think they're just so worried about right now and the moment in right now that they're just going to take whatever sacrifice that is for Shador. They're just looking at it as we need to get the best out of Dylan Gabriel right now, and if that means that 4 weeks from now we have to go to Shador, but Dylan was slightly worse, and maybe this was part of the reason why. Like they clearly showed their hand here, and I don't even hate them for it. I don't begrudge them for it. Like they're just putting Dylan ahead of them, and they've done that the entire time.
I don't either, but I don't love if they're falling back on, well, this is how we do in the NFL. It's like none of this situation is typical, so you shouldn't be treating it like a typical NFL situation. 216-474-0092. Shador not getting first team reps yet. Should he be? Thomas and Shaker, welcome to the show, my guy.
Hey, Nick. Hey, JP. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Doing well, buddy. Welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, real quick question. Because I was just thinking about this while I was on hold. Who do you think Jimmy Haslam is more in favor of, Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders?
Ooh.
Well, I think it's Shador. But I have no evidence to suggest that outside of the fact that I think Jimmy Haslam told him to draft Shador.
He also seems to travel around with a bunch of young men in Shador jerseys around him. I don't know if that was just on the sideline, but he's got a Shapasi around him.
Okay, so with that said, did y'all not just have a conversation yesterday, an hour-long conversation about how Jimmy Haslam might be listening to phone calls? Or he could listen into
I mean, the saving grace in all of this, Thomas, is that I think that Jimmy Haslam is going to be the one that forces them to eventually play Shador.
That's a saving grace. That sounds like a really problematic thing.
I believe that from day one. Well, no, this is the slight advantage of having someone that's as controlling of an owner as he is that when I have the thought process that he has in this one, I'm going to be able to see what I want to see. Whereas I've said it a million times. I don't think the same way as Stefanski and Barry at all. That like every decision they make is like an opposite decision of what I would do consistently, and we see how that's worked out for them.
No, I mean you're not wrong about that. I will say this though. I don't think that Dylan Gabriel is the quarterback of the future. Obviously, I want to at least give him a chance, but I haven't seen anything that's overwhelming the last couple of games that say, "Hey, this kid is," It, but maybe that's because I'm also intrigued to see which Shador has. But part of me also can't get that second preseason game out of my head. I know it's only one game, but, you know, there are just things that he did, like turning his back to the defense, that, you know, you're like, ooh, this kid's not ready yet. And, you know, there's more.
Did you watch Joe Burrow do that in the preseason game, too? You did. Did you watch Caleb Williams do it as well? It was a big talking point in Chicago sports talk.
Caleb Williams.
He had a massive play just like Shador had where he turned around and ran 20 yards backwards. They talked about it on Chicago sports radio for 3 weeks.
I didn't see it. I honestly did not see that. I'm sorry. I don't watch preseason Caleb Williams and Joe Burrow, but I did watch preseason Shador. So I do apologize. I didn't see it, but I'm just saying like he just didn't look. I'm not saying he's not talented. I just think that there's a lot to go into to being a quarterback in the NFL. I do think that him sitting back in these last couple of games, the first few games of the season, and watching how Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel prepare for games probably helped him. And I do think it's time to start seeing what he got. Don't get me wrong, but I do think that it was important for somebody who coming from a Big 12 conference, a conference that's not on the same level as the Big 10, and that he did not play as good a competition as Dylan Gabriel did. I think it's very important that he step behind him and learn how to prepare for a game.
Thomas, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. It helps that Dylan played 75 years in college.
Was the suggestion that he was going to, that Shador was going to learn from Dylan? Is that what the suggestion was?
I think that was the suggestion there.
Well, that's a banana suggestion.
You have to sit near each other in the sidelines to learn. I heard that's a conversation,
too. That's a banana suggestion.
Our guy, Bonjour.
Dylan should be learning from Shador.
Our guy, okay. Our guy, Bonjour Bob. Bonjour!
Bonjour!
Saying the fact that DG has been turnover-free is the reason, I believe, as to why they're doing this setup of reps between the two quarterbacks. All right. We can't do this. All right? I understand that technically he is turnover-free. He is putting the ball in jeopardy. And he has the last 2 weeks. And I understand that there's some weird, bizarro world where you have to argue about turnover-worthy plays.
Won by PFF this past week.
But the fact is, one is too many. And 2 weeks ago, it was like 17. Let's not do the thing of he's not turning the ball over, because that flips on its ear with one bad game, which, if he continues at this rate, will happen soon enough.
But I think where I see Stefanski on this, even, and trust me, I want Shador to get as many reps as he possibly can. But where
doesn't sound like it.
Well, it makes obvious sense if you think that Dylan Gabriel is where all your investment is from, whether that is you telling Barry, you telling Haslam, you telling all these guys that that's your choice and I can make him into something, and that's why you got a third round pick. Then he's going to be selfish with these reps because he wants Dylan to succeed at such a high rate. This is what he's going to do. And yes, does that come at some sort of little cost towards Shador? Yeah, but right now that's not Stefanski's problem. It might be his problem 4 weeks from now, but he's not looking at it that way.
So I don't think your read on that dynamic is wrong. What I'm saying is when you're not a leader of men, which again, I think Kevin is some sort of leader, but I don't think he's a Vrabel-esque leader, right? When your whole thing is I'm an offensive head coach and that we got a defensive head coach over there in Jim Schwartz, like, you're not the kind of leader that can play favorites. There are guys, like the true football guys, right? The guys who are great communicators can play favorites.
Yeah, but he is, though. That's the difference.
But what do you mean?
Well, he is playing favorites. Like, yeah, Dylan's his guy.
But he's not the style of head coach who can be doing this. And by the way,
But he is doing it, though. That's the difference.
I understand. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying he shouldn't be. This goes into what he's doing versus what he should be doing. And I guess it's like, oh, you're willing to throw your marriage away for that? That's kind of what I'm thinking about here is like, okay, I understand putting him on the table, for a fair amount of things, I don't understand doing that when it comes to Dylan Gabriel versus Shadur.
I mean, maybe this just goes back to that draft conversation where the entire world read it as that was Stefanski's pick in Dylan Gabriel and it was Haslam's pick in Shadur Sanders. And he is just, and Stefanski is trying his damnedest to make sure that everyone knows that he can make Dylan Gabriel into something. And it's just, okay, he's living very much in the moment about what's in front of him right now and not worry about any investments down the line.
216-474-0092. Shadur is not getting any first team reps right now. Should he be? I more look at the discrepancy in how Dylan's being treated and how Shador's being treated when it comes to rep utilization, and I just think that's silly. I just think that's very silly for where they were drafted and what I think both guys are capable of in the long run. Mike, Dan, Derek, Robert, you guys stick there. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.